I'm in Delft. You won't see me in the mornings in Tigerberg or in Durbanville. If you do see me, then it's probably Gideon Bosman. Some people confuse us. I don't know why. And God has really blessed us in Delft with a lot of children that's coming to church. Their parents aren't coming. I said it here before. But it's so good to see them coming because I know that's our mission field. That's sharing the word with those children. They go back to their homes. They tell their parents about Jesus and what they've experienced. So now we've started to give them little tags that you can get the address. Then they must give it back and it goes into a lucky draw and they get a chocolate. But then we've got the addresses and then I can go visit them. So it's something we learned from the Metro Kids Africa. Guys that do amazing work here in Guguletu and Langa and a lot of places. It's all open air, all outside. And I just asked them, so how do you know where they live? They said, no, you just have a lucky draw every week. And they love it. Okay, so I went there on Wednesday. And the one house, the lady said, oh, she thought the church is only for children. So now she will be coming. The other house, they said, you must have a ticket to go to church. Because they saw this lucky draw paper. I said, no. You don't have to have these tickets. It's just something that we use. And so it's just amazing to see what God is doing. There's a guy, Moses. He shared a small group in the week. He's this soft-spoken, a gentle guy. And then he shared, before he met Jesus, he was this tough guy. And he was beating everybody. And he was just so angry and everything. And then he met Jesus. And I was just amazed because I didn't know him before. I just know him now. And the turnaround is just, it's just amazing. And that's what God will do in our lives. And obviously not many of us can testify of those things. There's a lot of guys that struggling for work. When you pray, people come in church, they'll say, I'll say, what do you want to, what can we pray for? You must come and respond to whatever. Then I'll say, we haven't eaten for 2 days. Things like that. And I trust God that those things will be sorted out. Because we are family. That's what I tell them. Like us tonight, we're family. If you're part of this church, you're part of the family. And we help each other. We're there for each other. We care for each other. And it's the same that we have in Delft. It's just another shofar church. But it's family. There's many, many challenges, but it's going on. It's about 35 adults and about 40 children every Sunday. Okay, it depends. The children, they will go where there's the most fun. Okay, if somebody says there's a party, they will not go to church. They'll go to the party. Okay, so if something is happening or someone is standing on the street and handing out stuff, they will just go there because they won't think about church. That is something that we realized. But Lee and the team, and I know some of you are really helping us very much, are doing a great job with the children. They're having a great time between lucky draws and everything. And tonight the title is The Last Days. This is something that's on my heart. Just want to share with you. Before that, Psalm 149, verse 4. It's just always amazing for me just to read it. The Lord takes pleasure in His people. He takes pleasure in us tonight. When you look at us, some of you don't really believe this. Some of you think, no, but I must, it's all this stuff in my life and, but God takes pleasure in His people. And, yeah, just take it. For God loved the world. That's where everything started. His love for us. I can stand here, and I know God loves you. And everybody that come here serving us is just an extension of the love of God working through us to His people. Okay, so I'm also here on campus. I will be here a bit more as the pastor here on Tuesdays. So for the students, I'll be here somewhere. I'm not sure if our office is still going to remain. They're building there and everything. I just want to encourage you guys to contact me. Don't struggle through university on your own. Okay, I trust that you are in small groups that can help you out. Or just be there for you. But else, just contact me, send me a mail, phone me, phone the office, ask where's Yaku. And I would love to be there for you. Okay, so I just want to start out reading Matthew 24, verse 3. I didn't put everything on there. If you bring your Bibles, you can follow. I know you guys like to follow on the slides. I'm just going to start from verse 3. As he sat on the mountain, that's Jesus, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of this age? For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place." Okay? "For the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." We are still a bit, I don't know if it's lucky or fortunate, that in other countries there's much more persecution. If you talk to CS and the teams coming back from Pakistan, it's a different ball game. I'm interrupting myself, but I think it's good. I told some of you where they had a meeting and then CS felt he must go out of the meeting. They're having presentations and everything. And he just walked out there's a vision of a red bucky with people with machine guns. And he just felt that he must go in and tell everybody they must get out. So he said, "Lord, it's a bit awkward, but okay, I'll go with it." So he rushed back in and tell everybody they must get out immediately, stop the meeting, stop all the presentations. They do that, they get in the car, they're out. And as they drive in the street, the red bucky with the guys are coming from the front. So there could have been real interaction there, okay? So another story that I like from CS is just a guy that was in his room. I think it was one of, maybe in Pakistan as well. But as he felt the Lord telling him, "Jump through your window." And he was on the first or second floor. And then he's like, "Lord, is really, must I jump through the window?" He said, "Jump through the window." And then he checked again. And then he decided, okay, when he heard it the third time, he just ran and he jumped. And as he was going through the window, somebody ran into the room and started shooting. And just going wild. So that's a different dynamic. But that's the world where we live in. We don't experience it like that. When I hear something about the Lord, I think, is it from the Lord? Is it not from God? Ugh. Maybe I don't have to respond to it. It's okay. And sometimes you just go on. But they, in Pakistan, Sias now wants everybody to go to Pakistan. He says, "It's very good for your faith. He will quickly sort out if you have any issues, if you die, if you're going to heaven or not, because it's very real." Okay. So, then the verse 9, "Then he will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another." And this is the ESV. On the slide, it's, "And then many will be offended, will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved." So many will be offended in the last days. I'll quickly share a bit about defenses. Lawlessness will abound, where we just do what we want to do. And we think it's okay to go on like that. And that everything is fine and we disobey God when we want to. And then the love of many will grow cold. And the Bible talks in Luke 17 verse 1. It says, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Now offense, the Greek word scandalon, those of you who did the perspective 2 will have seen it. That is the thing in the trap, the bait. That's an offense. So there's everywhere there's these traps set out for us every day or all the time. And the Lord says offenses will come. We will get offended. But now the issue is how do you deal with the offense? What do you do with it? But that is really a trap of Satan to get us out of the will of God. And I'll quickly share something about the offense. So that's scandalon, that's the bait. That is the offense, and offenses will come. Okay, we're clear on that. So don't think that you're a very good person and you will never get offended. Okay, you're in for a surprise. It's a very deceptive, very effective snare of Satan. And the main objective is to get us out of the will of God. And out of the protective covering of the Father's love. Here in the church, we've got the covering, we've got protection. Once you're in a body. Again, I want to really encourage you to slot into a church. Not necessarily this church, but a life-giving church. But don't wander around like a lone ranger. It's very dangerous. Okay? Because the devil is really out to get us. At the moment, he is the ruler of this age. That's what the Bible teaches us. Although there's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, the Satan is the ruler of this age. So there's two kingdoms. There's all the time there's war going on. So we must be awake because there's a war going on for our souls. So these offenses are stuff that he put out there. And the Bible says many will be offended. Many people it will happen to them. They will be offended. They will betray one another and then hate one another. So there's some progression. It starts out just being offended. Saying, no, I will sort this thing out. It will just go away. I don't have to worry. Someone has hurt me. Or sometimes things just happen. Maybe you don't like anything here in front. The worship, you thought there must be a keyboard. If there's not a keyboard, it's not real worship. So now immediately, you were not focusing on the worship and on the Lord. You were thinking about a keyboard. Okay, it's a simple thing. But just there, you just closed your heart for something that you could have received. And you pick up an offense. Now you've got a thing there that you must sort out. Okay? So betrayal is when someone seeks his own benefit or protection at the expense of someone you have relationship with. Or just when you break a trust relationship. That's the betrayal that comes. Hatred is when there's no love anymore. There's just hatred. So that is the steps that we go through. The offenses come and we think it's a small thing, I'm not going to do much about it. And then there's the progression, the betrayal, the hatred. Interrupt myself before I share too many stuff out of order. I'll get there. And the word is just talking about then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So once we're offended, once we've closed our heart to receive love or anything, and we've got these issues that we're dealing with, it's so easy for deception to come in. It's so easy for us to be deceived. The false prophets are those that they just say we are the sheep. They're the wolves in sheep clothes. They're just going with. And sometime or another, they just say something to you and you say, oh, that sounds like a good thing. And you just start going in another direction. So the whole group, everybody is going in one way, and you now start following something else, a false prophet. Any deception, things that are not true, but we believe it to be true. It's so easy to fall for those deception. And in Proverbs 18 verse 1 says, a man who isolates himself rages against all wise counsel and seeks his own counsel. Because that's often the next step where we isolate ourselves. We don't want to fellowship with certain people because of what's in our heart. And now we started building walls around our hearts. And that is the big problem, because now the love of God and the love from people can't get into your heart anymore. Because you now started isolating yourself. And mostly the people that will offend us is the people that's closest to you. Like you will know, I think. Like at home. Issues. So if my parents, they stay with us on the same plot. My house is here. I rent my dad's house and we built him another house, a smaller house. And I rent out my house so we keep the money in the family. So now it's so easy to Gustav and Samuel and Lucy, the way we treat our children, obviously my parents see it all the time. And now they will come and they say, no, don't do this. Do it rather that way or that way. And we must be so careful not to get offended with simple things, what they're saying. So now I must go and I talk to them about it. But not every time you don't feel like talking and discussing it and going through this whole thing to reconcile the relationship. And what happens is every time you talk to the person, when I speak to my mother, if there's still something offense in my heart, I just recognize that something is just in the air. Something is there. You don't know what it is. You just can't connect. That's because it's an unresolved issue. It's an offense that was picked up. And I must go and sort it out. But see, the offenses can come from people that really mistreat you. They've really done wrong things against you. Or it's just sometimes we think that people didn't treat us in the right way. It's not always so obvious. But we pick up the offense and we've got the thing in our heart, so we must sort it out. We must do something with it. There's stories of some of our pastors that picked up an offense of a guy in primary. Yeah, it was primary school. They were best friends at the time. It went through high school, after high school, until one day he decided he's going to go to this guy and just tell him that at school, because this guy didn't want him to have a lot of friends and they were like the leaders in the school. So he did everything possible to get the children not to like him. And they bullied him and a lot of things. So their relationship really went backwards. So this friend of mine, he phoned the guy. That was after they were at university already. And he said he wanted to see him. And when he got there, he told me that when he got into the room and he just say it's Freddie. He said, Freddie, do you remember primary school? And when he said those words, the guy broke down. And he just started crying. And he said, I'm so sorry for what I've done. I'm so sorry. And they reconciled, and today they're very good friends again. But that thing that happened, it stole so many years from their relationship, from what happened there in primary school. And it was not something that he did. The other guy did it. But eventually, he was prepared. He was prepared just to go there and say, listen, what you did there, it really hurt me. And for some of us, that is also the thing that's going to bring big breakthroughs in our relationships and people that we still clash with. Because it's very, you can say that you are fine and you can say there's no offenses in your heart, and until you meet someone that you do have an offense with, immediately you will realize there's something is not right. That's the easiest. Or you just start praying for the person, and it will be a little bit difficult to pray. So, Lord, what is this thing? What is going on? Actually, we don't have the right to be offended. That is the truth. If we look at what God has done for us and forgiving us all our sins and everything unconditionally, and now we want to go and we want to judge our brothers and the people around us. We want to almost play God and say what you've done is not right. And sometimes it's valid things, but I'm just saying we must test our hearts and really ask God to help us to forgive people and also to work on those relationships. That's where Peter asking God, Lord, if my brother keeps on sinning against me, how many times do I have to forgive him? And he said 7 times. He thought that is going to be quite a bit. That's going to be a lot. 7 times. And the Lord said 70 times 7. No, you must go on. You must forgive him. You must work on that relationship. You must do something. 70 times 7. And then there's the story about the king. I think it's in Matthew 18. I'm just going to tell it quickly. Where the king, he had all the servants, and the one servant owed him a lot of money. And he wrote it off. It was like a lot of money, like years of wages. And when he walked out of there, he was so thankful to the king, and he forgave him all his money and everything. And then the Bible said, Jesus said that when he came out, a fellow servant was there that owes him a few denaries. I think it was very little. And immediately he told that guy that you must pay me back. And when the king heard that, he threw him in jail and he said, that's not right. You can't do that. I forgave you everything you owe me, and now you want to go and judge against your brother. And that's actually what we do. We've been forgiven all our sins, and now we want to go between us and we want to judge one another. So that's just something that we must keep in mind, and it's something that helped me when I'm really angry and take some time out, just walking a bit and say, Lord, no, this is not right. This is not right. Because it's difficult. It's not easy. But it's for the relationship. And it's for yourself. Because once we harbor that offense in our hearts, that's the offense, it's the hatred, the betrayal, the hatred, and then we build walls around our heart. And suddenly you will say, but it's so difficult to experience the love of God. Or me and the Lord, we don't connect. But then it's actually that offense that you've got with your brother or sister or mother or friend. That's the thing that's standing in your, that's blocking God's love just flowing through your life. And so that's a challenge for us. Easiest way to know if you're still offended is to go to the person, just start talking and praying for them. Sometimes you will have to pray for the person. You pray for them, you say, Lord, I don't want to pray for them, but just bless them. And you just try to do it again. Say, Lord, I don't like this guy, and he did, and he really hurt me, but bless him. And then as you pray, it will just help you to work through this offense and eventually to go to the person and to sort it out. And to stay away from offenses, Acts 24, verse 16. I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense against God and against man. Exercise. Just reading the word, praying, talking to God, be accountable. We do things to stay away from offenses, to have a conscience clear of these offenses. Okay? Everybody with me? Very quiet. Ross was not lying when he said you're quiet. So, then, if we go back to that verse, Matthew 24, and many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now that lawlessness, it's a bad thing. Very bad. It is when we just start doing our own thing. When we say that my way is right. I can do certain things and that is the right way and nobody can tell me otherwise. So, there's actually a scripture that I just wanted to share with you about the offenses. I saw it on your slides. Proverbs 18 verse 19. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like a bars of a castle. That strong city, that is just talking about the walls. This is built around your heart. More unyielding than a strong city. And it's difficult to break down those walls. Okay, so this lawlessness, the thing about the lawlessness, and we want to do our own thing, the big problem is, our country is democracy and everything, and it's very nice, and it's good. But in the kingdom of God, there's a king, and there's authorities, and there's certain rules. Okay, so it's not a democracy. There's actually a king with rules. And what we want to do, we want to make our own rules. Or sometimes we say, in Delft, some of the guys will tell me, everybody is doing it. It's fine. And I tell them, no, it's not fine. They say, no, how can you say that? Everybody is doing it. So everybody is wrong. That's what it comes down to. So, I know about lawlessness. When I look at Gustav and Samuel, I can see the rebellion. When you tell them to do something, and they say no. I said, no, you can't say no. You can't say no. And we had good fights about that. Where they just don't want to do something. They just said, I said, you must come. They said, I'm not going to come. So you must come. And then they run away. The rule, if you run away, you get a hiding. That's the rule. There are rules. Okay? Running away is one of them. Then I just told him, when you come back, you're going to get your hiding. And you don't have to fight about it. That's the rule. And in the kingdom of God, there's certain rules as well. And we get very casual, and we think we can do what we want to do. And like in Delft, there were a couple that they stayed together. And one day they called me, they want to see me. And I went to their house. And they say they really want to make right with the Lord. They used to be following God, and then they just backslide. And now they want to make right again. So I said, okay, so what do you want to do? They said, no, we want to pray with you, and we're going to make right with the Lord. So I said to them, well, if you want to make right with the Lord, then I want to challenge you if you will move out of this and just your conduct. Just get it in order. Because obviously what you're doing is not right. And you will not have the blessing of God on your relationship. Because there's an obvious thing that you're doing wrong. And I was so thankful that they said they will separate. I knew the lady had a sister in the church. So I took a bit of a chance, and I just told her, you can just move to your sister's house. After that, I went there and I told her that I think your sister is going to phone you. She's coming. Because we prayed together and they recommitted to the Lord. And they said that they will move out. The end of that week, she moved out of the house. That was last year. End of last year, they went to Zim. They got married. They came back and they're obviously staying together now. But that was for me so precious. Where they not only said they want to make right with God, but they immediately started to sort things out. Where until that moment, obviously it was fine for them to stay together. They didn't have a problem with it. But that's just a kind of, that's lawlessness. Doing your own thing. Okay, and in the kingdom of God, my heart is, there's rules. And the thing that I'm just thinking of all the time is just, God loves us and you guys so much, and he just want to work through our lives. And sometimes there's obvious things that we just do wrong. And things that we place in front of before our relationship with God. This is, sure, I don't know, there's a story in the Bible. You can go check. Where the wedding, the kingdom of God is like a wedding, and they invited the people. And then they invited someone, and they said, Lord, I just married. I want to go to my wife. And the other one said, I bought a piece of land. I want to go and tend to the land. The other one said, I've got bought a few ox, and I must go plow the land or see how they work and everything. So they've put all those things in front of the invitation, in front of coming to the wedding. And then the Lord said, I will go into the street and I will ask anyone else or all the people in the street, and they will come and they will attend the wedding. And for me, it just reminds me of, that is exactly what we do today. Where we start, we realize what we must do, or we think God is telling us something. We know that we must obey or we must do a certain thing. But then you say, Lord, my work is very important. I must first do this and this, and maybe if there's time, then I'll do this other thing. Or you'll say, family. Or you'll say, Lord, I can't do that. You can ask me anything, just not that thing. And it's the same. Thanks, Niku. I just realized in my walk with the Lord, that's the same thing. We've got a desire to have more of God working through our life. We've got a desire for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've got desires for all these things. And then the Lord peaks. And he's there. And you get a thought, do this for that person. Do that for that one. And then soon, I say, okay, whoa. Okay. I will do this one and this one and that one. I don't have time for that tonight. And that's what we do. There's not that implicit obedience. And once we start doing that, our lives will go, yeah, it will just be amazing. And I'm not getting it right. It's just that I just realized that we are very casual in our walk with God. But we all desire the gift of the Holy Spirit. We all desire this extra stuff to work through our lives. So there are days that I say, okay, Lord, I'm going to try to respond to everything. All the thoughts and things that get into my head that I think is you, I'm going to try to respond to all of that. And then it is a bit of a different day. So, you all just walk down the passage, and there's a guy that's cleaning, and I think I must tell him this and this, or speak a bit, disengage with the person, and suddenly he's you can just see he's smiling, you can see you made his day. Something is there. And I know I didn't do anything. I just felt God loves this person. And I'm just engaging with him, asking his name, where he comes from, and whatever I feel that I must say. So I walked down, and then I got in the car, and I went to the bank. The guy that looks after the cars, we started talking. After a while, I asked him, so this is what you do? You're working for a security company? He asked me what I'm doing. Or no, where I work. I said, I work at a church. Then he goes on, he said, are you a pastor or something? I didn't like it when the people ask that. But then they obviously put you in a little block, and there's all these thoughts that are going through their head, and they start saying all the right things. But we're all in this life. We all struggle. We need each other. But once we start engaging, It's just amazing to see what God is doing through us. It's just amazing. I tell the story often the last couple of days of when we did the SOS training in Stellenbosch last year. And you guys got an opportunity next week to do it. And go for it. It'll change your life. Anyway, that's just an add-on. So I came out that first night. On my way home, I was very tired. It's 10 o'clock. I just want to go home. I just want to get out of here. Now we had all these amazing things. And see, I said, you must, yeah. We just practice a bit the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I'm walking home. And when I got in the car, I see it's 10 o'clock. I say, yo, it's late. I'm going to get home very late. Everybody's going to sleep. And suddenly I got this thought that the lady that I walked past, that's cleaning the Nielsi, I must go back to her. I said, no, I don't feel like this. Lord, I'm not sure if this is really you speaking to me. So I said, no, you must go back. There's someone in the family that's very sick. So anyway, I went back there and I asked her about this someone in the family that's sick. She said, yes, there are someone. But before you pray for them, please pray for my back. I said, okay. We can do that. So I quickly pray for her back, simple prayer. And just after that, she's just doing this and says, wow, the pain is gone. And she starts running around and she got healed right there. And I know that was not me doing anything funny. I was not in the mood to be there. Okay? But it's the love of God touching that person right there. And I was just, thank God that I went back there and was just willing to be used by Him. Because obviously I called her back and said, we must still pray for your family member that's sick. And then we prayed for that. And that is how, from that day onwards, that's how it's going. It's just like, are you willing to obey, to following God? Or are we still doing our own things? And we will be challenged on this. It's a challenge all the time. Because we can either live as believers in this world, but with a culture, our mindset is based on our culture. There's certain things that's acceptable in the culture, certain things that we do, certain things that we can't do based on our culture. But that's not the right way. We must have a mindset on the things of God and the kingdom of God. Then we will do the right things, and then we will obey and walk in obedience. So that lawlessness, the Greek word for lawlessness is anomia, being without the law, okay? Because of ignorance of it or because of violating it. Simply put, lawlessness means not to submit to the law or authority of God. Any sin is actually lawlessness, not a being obedient to God. So it is the offenses, back to that scripture, in the last days, many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up, deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. That love is really the unconditional love of God that we receive from the Lord, and then the love that we have for people around us. So that love will grow cold. Lawlessness and offenses. And that's where we start to say, that, Lord, I don't know what's going on in my life. Lord, I don't experience your love. I don't know, and there's no intimacy. So maybe it's offenses, and maybe it's some obvious sin. Lawlessness. Things that you just do in your own way. And it's not always nice to be corrected. You don't want to hear those words that say, you are wrong. Sometimes Lee is very good at my wife. Between her and the Lord, I don't get away with a lot. It's like, it's tight. So, at home, I will do something and I will go do my thing. And then she will just say, Yaku, how's your quiet time? I don't see you spending time with the Lord. What's going on? Or what you did there, Why are you doing that? Why are you saying those things to that people? What's going on there? And it's not always nice to be corrected. I said, no, I don't want to talk about it. just leave it. And you're angry. You get very angry. Angry with yourself. But those are the things that we must be prepared to handle. And just humble and talk about it. And admit when we made mistakes. Admit also when we're doing wrong things in our lives. Because the last verse that I put on there, Matthew 7 verse 23, it comes back to this lawlessness. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Because we start out, and then we do all the stuff and everything, and we're doing church, but we still got that lawlessness in our heart. There's not that obedience to God in our walk with God, in our relationship with the Lord. And then that I never knew you is talking about intimacy between the Lord and us. The Lord will say, I never knew you. There were never any intimacy. We never had relationship because you were just doing your own thing. You decided that this and this and this is right, and that's what you did. I was not really part of what you were doing. So I don't want that lawlessness. And for me, yeah, that's why I just had this thing in my heart all the time about the lawlessness and the offenses. That we must just talk about it, bring it in the open, and then trust God to really show us where are the areas of lawlessness, where we're still doing our own thing, where we're not submitting our lives to Him, where it's still fine to do something in a certain way. Sometimes it's obvious that we know it's wrong, but we still carry on doing all these things. Or we have these things against our brothers, against the people in church, these offenses that we just harbor in our hearts. Amen.